This is Solidarity News on Radio Labour.
This is a Radio Labour World Report recorded on Friday, January 20th, 2017. I'm Mark Boulanger. In the report this week, Labour in the United States vows to fight mass deportations as Donald Trump becomes president. The international labor movement presents a plan for creating millions of jobs. Why collective bargaining is needed to combat wage stagnation. And the Labor Start report about union events around the world. This is Radio Labor.
The specter of mass deportation is absolutely terrifying.
That is Richard Trumka, the president of the largest labor federation in the United States, the AFL-CIO. He was speaking ahead of the inauguration of Donald Trump as the president of the U.S. He is especially concerned about mass deportations called for by Mr. Trump. There are an estimated 11 million undocumented migrants in the U.S. They have about 5 million children, many of whom were born in the country.
Many of the people who live and work in this great country are frightened. They're scared. And I share their concern. You see, Donald Trump campaigned on mass deportation, on building walls, on imposing religious litmus tests. And make no mistake about it, those proposals are a violation of our founding principles and our basic humanity. Many are concerned that raids, detentions, and worse will occur immediately after the president-elect takes office. You see, when it comes to immigration policy, we at the AFL-CIO took strong exception to the Obama administration's enforcement policies. And Mr. Trump is threatening something much worse, escalating the pace and the number of deportations, sending armed agents into our neighborhoods and workplaces, and to arrest members of our unions and our communities. The specter of mass deportation is absolutely terrifying. The men and women who live and who work here, who stand in line with us at the grocery store, and whose children attend our schools. What he has proposed will tear at the very fabric of our society and our values, and we will not stand for it. We'll resist it with everything that we have, everywhere that we are, every way that we can, and we refuse to be divided into us versus them.
As the United Nations predicts an increase in global unemployment, the international labor movement is providing ideas for job growth. Radio Labor's senior correspondent Seymour Ainsborough reports.
A new report by the International Trade Union Confederation shows that investing in physical infrastructure such as bridge building or investing in caring for people such as the elderly could create more than 40 million new jobs. The ITUC is the organization which represents national labor centers at the world level. The report looked at six countries, including South Africa, China, Brazil, and India. A previous study of OECD countries showed that an investment of 2% of a country's GDP would increase employment by up to 6%. Most of the new jobs would be taken up by women, but male employment would also be increased. Sharon Burrow is the ITUC's General Secretary.
Investing in the care economy, 2% of GDP, part of that social protection floor, you can actually invest in the jobs that will free women to participate in the labour market, that will actually engage women in jobs, in care, that will actually enable women to be freed from the oppression of private care, where it's actually been taken into the home, and is so much, in terms of domestic work, a symbol of oppression. 2% in seven countries, you get 21 million jobs, formal jobs. That's worth having.
The ITUC report also highlighted the extent of gender bias in economic thinking. Spending on physical infrastructure, which employs mainly men, is seen as an investment, but spending on caring for people, which provides jobs for women, is seen as a cost. This is Simarie Ainsborough reporting for Radio Labor.
Labor representatives at the World Economic Forum, taking place in Davos, Switzerland, January 17th to 20th, are calling on the government and corporate elite there to pay attention to the huge gap between corporate profits and what workers earn. Philip Jennings, the General Secretary of Uni Global Union, spoke at one of the forum's sessions. Uni represents some 20 million workers in 900 unions around the world. Its members work in the skills and services sectors. Mr. Jennings was asked about stagnant wages by the session moderator, Megan Murphy, the editor of Bloomberg Businessweek.
When we look in the U.S. and we look at 4.7% unemployment, one of the biggest mysteries, which everyone is trying to solve, is why we haven't seen the consequent wage growth that we would expect when we see such a tight labor market. Why do we see this phenomenon? And this is something that everyone is grappling with.
It's pretty clear. It's very clear.
Tell me what your answer
is. There's no mystery about it. The McKinsey report that came out looking at the development of corporate profits during the course of the last 30 years were very clear. They called them a spectacular period. It's been 30 years of feast and not famine for them. The share of wages is at an all-time post-war low. The income distribution mechanism, particularly in the United States of America, is bust. When union density falls, when collective bargaining falls, when the ability of working people to negotiate a wage increase is taken away, is busted, is legislated out of existence, don't be surprised to see this trend. Income gravitating to the top 1-10% and the share of income going to the bulk of the workforce is not moving. The mechanism is bust.
Now here with his report about union events around the world is Labor Start correspondent Derek Blackadder.
Here's a small sample of the more than 2,300 stories our volunteers collected last week. Our top story section included links to news about the repression of garment unions in Bangladesh, the growing resistance to an attempt to shut down independent unions in Kazakhstan, and the labor movement's preparations for the World Economic Forum. We had news of strikes and lockouts in dozens of countries. Here are just a few highlights. Crown lawyers in Canada continued their months-long wage strike. A couple of one-day wage strikes last week brought the Egyptian total for the year to almost 1,800. Chinese migrant workers walked off the job over unpaid wages. In New Zealand, dockers were out over work schedules. The long-running chemical workers strike in the United States saw a number of escalations last week as the union continued to increase the pressure for a settlement. And in Kenya, pretty much everyone in the public sector seemed to be on strike as they attempted to enforce agreements signed with the government in 2013. Our top working women's stories included coverage of the progress towards gender wage equality being made in Sweden, a union push for more women in the labor force in Singapore, a union campaign against sexual harassment in Trinidad and Tobago, and of course, union preparations around the world for marches in solidarity with American women as Trump takes office in the United States. The Health and Safety Newswire, we run in cooperation with Hazards Magazine, carried stories to hundreds of union websites around the world about the increased number of firefighter deaths and injuries in the United Kingdom as cuts to the fire service take effect. Yet another assault on an Australian public transport driver. The news that last year one Nepali migrant worker died every day in Malaysia, and the deaths of at least 20 Iranian firefighters in a single fire. Currently, Labor Start is running 6 online actions. Take just a few seconds out of your day and join thousands of trade unionists around the world in helping workers make their lives better, or even help save those lives. This is Derek Blackadder from Labor Start, reporting for Radio Labor.
And that's it. International labor news you can use. Thank you for listening. And remember, it's all about global solidarity.